All right, it's time to get started tonight here on Wednesday night. Good to see you here for prayer meeting, and I hope it's comfortable in here to everybody. Not too cold, but certainly not a lot cooler than it is outside. And appreciate all of you being here. We may have some more to come in directly. I'm looking for a man, gentleman called me today. It's Dennis Mole's cousin that's here in Columbia, and he was here and his wife wanted to come to the service tonight. And I gave him the directions. I hope I gave him the right directions. He said his GPS was broken. So I hope I didn't send them to the wrong place. But anyway, they're not here yet, so maybe they'll come along directly. But anyhow, good to see you in the service tonight. Let's all get a hymn book and stand together. Brother Tim comes lead us in a song.
All right, this song we often sing as a special, but number 59 is a great song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Number 59, everybody take a hymnal. Join us as we sing. 59. Right, let's sing out now.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary.
I know some of you are wore out. Those ladies that were here painting today, I'm telling you, they got it all done today. But I'm telling you, they about paid for it. We had to give them pizza to get them to hang around a little while. But they got it done, and it's going to be, when you see it Friday, you're going to be impressed because it's all done sort of freehand, and you know, it's all handmade and homemade, and it's going to look good for Bible school. And so, you ladies that were here, I know Judy and Miss Bobby and Martha and Miss Edame and Brenda and Inez and even Dante showed up. I mean, am I missing anybody? I think, is that everybody? Okay, so I guess I got everybody. I think so. One, two. You just showed up. You just showed up to see what they were doing. But anyway, the ladies did a great job. Thank you for what you did helping out. I know it was just extremely hot outside. But, man, slinging that paint around is probably a little dangerous doing it inside. So I appreciate you taking the time and staying to get it done. And I know it's going to look really good when it gets all set up on Friday. Tomorrow, actually. We'll set it up tomorrow. Yeah, what time? All right, 9 o'clock. If you want to come and help set it up, the hard work is done. The setting up is work, but I don't think it'll be near as hard as, because Miss Judy did have a good idea. She numbered all the pieces. Unless they painted over the numbers, in which case we'll have a hard time. But anyway, so it's kind of, how many of you know what a modular home is, where they bring all the walls on a trailer? The first house, the first new house Judy and I ever lived in, at our first church, was a modular home called a Morgan home, and they got the foundation poured. And one day here come a flatbed trailer with a bunch of stuff on it. They uncovered it, and it was the walls. And instead of numbers, they were lettered. And I heard the guy out there say, all right, give me A. And they got that crane and picked up. I mean, it had the truss, everything on that wall, A, then B, then C. And I think they went to like G or H. And within an hour and 35 minutes, the thing was framed. I mean, that was amazing. It's a nice house, too. And so I don't know that this will be quite along that line. I don't think we need a crane, but we do need some hands. Just it's cardboard, so it won't be anything too heavy. But we want to make everything look really good for Bible school. And so if you can help tomorrow, again, it'll be inside. The air will be on. It'll be cool. We'll make sure we feed you tomorrow lunchtime. You know, we'll bring you something to eat for lunch. We'll take care of that. And so if any of you ladies can help, especially those of you that are going to work in Bible school this year, if you weren't able to come today, try to come tomorrow and help out. Because, like I say, more hands make less work. And so the more people are here to help out, the better it'll be. So help out tomorrow at 9 o'clock if you can. All right? All right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. And then we'll have another song in a moment. Father, we love You, and what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight on this Wednesday night. It's a prayer meeting night. Lord, it's really hot outside. It's going to get hotter before the weekend comes. But I'm thankful, Lord, for everyone that's here tonight. Thank You that we have a nice building that's cool on the inside. Lord, where we can just worship together now and open up the Word of God. Father, I thank You for that. Thank You for the great privilege we've had. Lord, I thank You for the privilege to preach at the Low Country Fellowship Monday. Had a great time, and the folks were good to us. We had good services. Now, Lord, tonight we need something fresh from the Lord, and we're thankful for it. Be with Shelton as he's working at the Academy this week. Lord, and Jennifer and Brittany, as they've gone to Florida for this week for a vacation. And so, Lord, we're thankful. Pray that You give them safety as they travel. And then others, Lord, who may be ill or just not able to be here tonight, You know the need. But I thank You for everyone that's here. And Lord, like Brother Steve told me, he heard a preacher say here just recently, instead of worrying about the ones that aren't here, thank God for the ones that are. And Lord, we thank You for the folks that are here that are faithful to come to the house of God. So feed us tonight from that which would be pleasing in Your sight. And we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Let me just give you a couple of things real quickly. Get my Bible here. All right. They went to the doctor today, and Sonny is digressing as far as neurologically speaking. And so it wasn't good news. He's not gone yet, but he's got that frontal lobe dementia, so it's heading in that direction. And so now she's having to try to consider about finding someone to care for him. The one thing she really hates is missing church. She said the live stream is great, but it's not the same as being here. And that's true. That's really true. And so anyway, you pray for them. Also, remember Cliff Tucker in the hospital. Of course, Miss Inez is here. I think the pink eye is about arrested. It's not contagious now. So, you know, when you look over and see her, don't do like that. You know, I don't think she's contagious anymore. And then Joanne Aldrich, that's her sister-in-law that had a heart cath this week. Did you get a chance to talk to Jean? She did good. Okay, good. So that's an answer to prayer, and we're thankful for that. All right. Then also remember Miss Ramona told Brother Steve she wasn't feeling good today. So remember that if you would. Brother Melvin's brother, Edward. Let's continue to pray for him. Excuse me. Sorry. Ooh. It's bad when I know it's coming. It's worse when it takes its time. Remember Sister Candy's mother down in Panama and all the rusty anchors. Let's remember all the rusty anchors. Brother Mullins, is that you?
Yes, sir.
All right. There he is. Now, some of you don't know Dennis Moles. Dennis Moles was the postmaster here for about 3 years and from Virginia. And we loved Brother Dennis and his wife Linda were great members of our church for those years. And they're still wonderful friends of ours. Every time we head up that way, we always stop in to see them, and they're always so good to us. And this is his cousin, is that right? Ed Mullins, I hope I said that right, and Ms. Mullins. And we're glad to have these folks. They're on the way to the beach or back from? On the way down to the beach for a little vacation. And so Brother Dennis told them to come by here and see us. And so after the service, I'm going to tell them all the stuff I know about Dennis. The only problem is he probably knows it all already, plus some. Yeah, plus some. But anyway, we're glad to have you, brother. Glad you're able to get here. I was worried when you weren't here. I thought maybe my directions were...
Well, you know how much
can you travel off the time of life. Okay. Not enough curves in the road, right? Is that what it is? Well, we're glad you got here. Okay, brother. God bless your heart. So good to have you. And so don't forget now, Bible school this weekend, Friday night at 6 or 6:30. 6 o'clock. Friday night at 6 o'clock, and then Saturday morning at 10. And so we want everybody to be involved. If you have children or grandkids, please invite them. Of course, we've got some folks out tonight, but hopefully we can get all of them involved. And if you know some children, we went out in the neighborhoods and we passed out the flyers. And so we're looking to have a good Bible school this year. This is the first time we've done a weekend Bible school. Usually we've done it over a week, but we're just doing a little different this year. And so we're going to see how that works out. But anyhow, I hope you can come and be part of our vacation Bible school. All right? All right. Brian, you got anything? We're all good. Don't forget about the weekend now, the Lord's Day Sunday. We're going to have, of course, our regular services on Sunday. And I want you to invite somebody to come and be here with us, all right? Be sure that you invite someone to come. You know, they're not breaking down the door to get in. So they've got to be cajoled and they've got to be sort of urged. And so we've got to invite them. And that's the only way to get them here. So I hope that you'll do that, okay? All right, Brother Tim, let's have another song.
All right, number 243, let's stand and sing a few verses, I Am Resolved, 243. All right, sing out now.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have a to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the heavenly way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest highest, I will come to to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in.
Make that chorus now.
I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come.
Let's have a little time of fellowship.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Now let's have the ushers to come on. We'll take care of the Wednesday night offering here quickly. And we've got our special tonight and a special special. So Brother Dennis told me. Now, years ago, Brother Dennis, those of you who know Dennis, you know he's a singer. He liked to sing and he liked to play and sing. And he'd get at that piano and he thought he was Mickey Gilly and Jimmy Swaggart and you like that. And listen, Dennis could sing, and years ago he sang in a quartet. Did he give us one of those albums, or he showed it to us? I know, Brother Mullins. I guess back in the 70s, maybe, yeah, that's right. And boy, they had the quartet pose going on, and Dennis had lots of hair back then, you know. And Brother Mullins sang the bass for that group for who? Okay. Right. That's right. That's right. So, see, he remembers it, and for whatever reason, I didn't. Sorry about that, brother. No, you did. No, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. I don't remember what I had for lunch. So that's just getting old, I guess. But what we're going to do is take y'all. Brother John's going to sing for us tonight, and then after he gets done, we'll just let Brother Mullins get up and sing one for us. Now he's doing this unrehearsed. You know, he's been singing so long, he doesn't need no rehearsal. And I don't know, somebody will play for him, I'm sure. And we'll hear from him. But anyway, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on the offering. Brother John Gardner, you pray for the offering, please. Amen.
Stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. I know you are guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace, the blood was presented. Cover my sin, forgiven, mercy walked in. I stood there and I wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains, they were broken. I'd been born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy wrought tears. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy wrought tears.
Thank you, John, for that great message in that song.
All right, don't get the wife to sing with you.
She looks a little prettier than I do, so.
I saw you come on up here, brother. You got mics for you? All right.
Thank you, buddy. The reason why I've asked my wife to sing with me, of course, she sings all the time. You want to find your song in there? By the way, I did talk to Pastor Rick before we came up here earlier, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I've done heard you play, so I'm so glad you don't play like Dennis, for one thing. But on the other hand, she's going to do The Longer I Serve Him. First verse in E-flat, second verse in F. Yeah. Anyway, talked to Pastor Rick and told him who I was on the phone and everything, and told him I was Dennis' family and cousin. He said, oh, we love Dennis. We all love Dennis. And I said, Pastor Rick, I'm going to tell you something. You saying that has already told me one thing about your church that I like, and evidently y'all like to pray a lot. Y'all's really in love with Dennis. Y'all really pray and exercise a lot of faith. I can see that already. No, is it? I want to ask you a question. Is it good to be a Christian? Amen. In today's times, in 2018, it is so good that I can stand here in Anchor Baptist and tell you that I am a child of the living God.
That's right, brother.
It is so good to be able to say that. So good. And I'm so glad that the God we serve is just not the God at Point Lick Tabernacle in Charleston, West Virginia, or Anchor Baptist here in Columbia. He's the God of all gods. Anytime and anywhere you need Him, He is there. It's so good. Worst thing you want is for a singer to come up and start talking. That's the worst thing you want. But this lady right here, get on up here, baby. Stand on up here. You're fine. Now, don't act like you're shy, because you're definitely not. I want to tell you what God has done for my wife. I ought to let her tell you, but she gets a little choked up. A little over 2 months ago, and I'll make this short. A little over 3 months ago, I just about lost my wife. She was having chest pains at work. I took her to the hospital, and I'm going to shorten this up for you. They did a heart cath on her, and she had three major blockages in her heart. But one of the blockages was in the form of the artery where it splits off in two. It was right in that area. He had to consult another surgeon. The surgeon told him, there's no way you can put a stent in there. The stent, even if you did get it in that area, it's not going to hold. Don't even try it. Which we did not expect open heart surgery, but they did go in an open heart. She had three bypasses put in. They took her back to the ICU after the surgery. She was on the ventilator, and a nurse there who we happen to know also. God puts people where we need them. Whether you think it or not, He has someone there for you. That's how big my God is. And who we still happen to know, she said something is wrong. She's not acting right. There is something wrong with her. She called the surgeon back and came to find out that my wife was having a heart attack in the ICU. Those three bypasses that they did, two of them collapsed on the way to the ICU. They had never heard of it before. They had never seen it done before. They say this is extremely rare. The surgeon decided to go ahead, not wait, but to go ahead, we're going in now. They took her back to surgery, fixed her up, got her home, and sure enough, around the area where they do the cath, she developed a pseudoaneurysm. Her leg became numb and was pain. She wasn't getting any blood flow. She had to go back into surgery for that. To make a long story short, they injected a solution that was supposed to take care of the aneurysm to clot it off. It leaked, went on down into her leg, created another clot in the bottom of her leg. They had to go in and perform another surgery on her leg. When they pulled out the aneurysm, and this is a very well-noted doctor, neurosurgeon at in Charleston, when he pulled it out, it was over a foot long, the longest aneurysm he had ever seen. He even took a picture of it and showed us. And I said all that to say this. After all of that, I still am standing and singing with my wife. Thanks be to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the God I serve. Aren't you glad you're a child of the King tonight? Well, praise His holy name. I may not even sing, Rick. I might take off here in just a minute. Because I know what my God can do. I know what He can do. He's so good to us. Baby girl, I want you to sing for him. Will you do that for him, baby?
Okay.
All right.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
How many of you believe that tonight?
Come on, babe, I want you to sing.
Every need He is supplying. Plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
All right, man. Good job, man. When peace
like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. My soul, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious font. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Oh, it was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, and Lord, haste the day when my fate shall be signed, for the clouds be rolled back as the scroll, for the trump shall resound, and my Lord is shouting, even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul.
All right, thank you for that. If you've been blessed, say amen. I was sitting there thinking I'd like to be a fly in the potato salad at their family reunions. All right. Well, get your Bibles ready. Listen now.
Hallelujah. Boy, that's good singing, ain't it? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, that's all right. You go ahead. Don't hurt me none. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Yeah. Oh. Right, right. Right. Amen. 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 Praise God. Yeah. That's good. Praise God. I think she got plugged in. Praise God. That's right. We ought to thank God. You know, we're all so good. In fact, I was looking at this verse, and it's right here because I'm reading out of another chapter next to it. But in Isaiah 23, in verse number 9, the Bible said, "The Lord of hosts hath purposed it." How about that? Just like Brother Mullins was talking about the providence of God, God has a purpose. And He will put people and things, services. Hey, it's Wednesday night. You're not supposed to shout on Wednesday night. My goodness. I mean, you do good to go, let alone shout. And Martha and Judy done got plugged in, and some others of you just enjoy it. Right? Isn't it good to enjoy the Lord on what? You know why? Because He purposed it. This is the purpose. This is why we're here. And I believe God's going to do something really good in the Bible school. Like I told you, if we have 10 kids and one of them gets saved or gets closer to God because it's hurt, then it's worth every penny we spend and every moment that you put into it. I'm telling you, I believe that to be true. Isaiah chapter 22 tonight. Isaiah chapter 22. And that's page number 732 if you have a Schofield Bible. Now, it's pretty obvious that Brother Mullins comes from Brother Dennis's family because they can all sing. My, what range the man has. And then Brother John sang the song he sang tonight. It's the one that Dennis used to sing all the time. I mean, about every time he'd get up and sing, he'd sing that song. And so that brought back some memories. Brother John, thank you for that good song. And glad to hear about how God's blessed your wife. And isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adores Him. What a mighty God we serve. Well, here in Isaiah 22, just to give you a little background quickly as we go into the message tonight, King Sennacherib of Syria is on his way to try to destroy Israel, Jerusalem. Isaiah's prophesied concerning the fall of Jerusalem and, of course, the future response and rebuilding of Jerusalem during the millennial reign. But here in the story, the Bible speaks here of how the walls were built. And if you know anything about Middle Eastern and old Bible construction, whenever a city built a wall, and that was always the first thing they did, they decided to build a city. First thing they would do is build the wall the size that they thought they might need. Once the wall was built, then the people would go inside the walls and they would build their homes against the wall. Two reasons. Number one, of course, back then they didn't have missiles and bombs and all that sort of thing. So building your house against the wall meant that nothing could come over the top and strike your home, unless it was dropped from the top of the wall. And of course, the wall was built in such a way, and it was defended in such a way, that was a very unlikely scenario. And so folks felt safe. I want you to listen to what I'm saying now. Folks felt safe building their houses against the wall. It was the right thing to, and by the way, it also helped to enforce or reinforce the wall itself. And so there it was a twofold reason. Now others would build, depending on the size of the city, of course, they would build buildings and homes, and a lot of the civil buildings, a lot of the city buildings, things like that, the marketplace, the temple or the temples or whatever, they would build in the middle, but the people's homes. Now that's because back then, unlike today, they believed that the strength of the home lent its strength to the city. Understand what I'm saying? We're living in a country and in a day where the nuclear home has been destroyed. It's no longer mother and dad and children. Now it's mom or dad or two not married. Now it's even same sex. And now the kids are confused. The country's confused. And home, the home is no longer what God intended it to be. But what we see here, though, and here's what I want to look at tonight. I want you to go with me to verse number 7. If you're going to read a few verses, would you stand with me, please? Reverence to the Word of God, if you're able to stand. And I'll read just down through verse number 12. Notice the Bible said, "And it shall come to pass that that thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots." Now, this is God pronouncing judgment on Jerusalem and on Israel because of their turning away from God, their spiritual adultery. He says, "Thy choicest valleys." Now, you picture this beautiful, if you've ever been to the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, one of the most beautiful places, I think, on earth. Now, I've not been a lot of places, so I don't have a whole lot to go by. But that is beautiful country up there, that Shenandoah Valley. The Bible said in that valley, in those choicest valleys, there would be chariots. It says, full of chariots, "And the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate." Verse 8, and he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. He have seen also the breaches, the broken places in the city of David, that's Jerusalem, that they are many. That's important. And ye gather together the waters of the lower pool. Now they're expecting a siege. They're expecting, as they did, that the enemy, instead of trying to just bulldoze the wall, because it was difficult to do, they would besiege the city. They would surround it. Nothing could get in. Nothing could get out. And the point was, at some point, you starve the people inside the wall, because most everything they grew and had was outside. And so the Bible says that they would be at the gate, and he discovered the covering of Judah. You've seen the breaches, verse 9, of the city of David, that they are many. And ye gather together waters of the lower pool, verse 10. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem. Now remember where they're built. Already Isaiah said that there are many breaches, broken places in the wall. And now notice he said that you've numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses, remember, were built to fortify the wall for safety and protection. The Bible said ye have broken down to fortify the wall. Verse 11, ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And then verse 12, and in that day did the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of hosts, call to weeping and to mourning, to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. Lord, bless the word of God to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, I tell this story, and really, to do it great justice, you'd have to read a lot more of it, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do that. But we've set the stage here. Sennacherib is about to besiege the city of Jerusalem. His goal is to destroy Israelites. It's always been Satan's goal from the beginning. Now, you'll notice that the walls had been built. The houses had been built. The problem now is there are breaches or broken places in the wall. And most of those broken places are found where the houses were built against the wall. In other words, these folks built their homes against the wall, and suddenly they feel safe. Now that they feel safe, they go about their everyday life. They buy, they sell, they trade, like the Bible said in the days of Noah. They ate and drank and married and gave in marriage. I mean, what we would call just normal everyday life. The problem here, though, is because they get wrapped up in their everyday life, and let me say it this way, they get wrapped up in themselves, and they forget to maintain their houses. Now, you know what would happen if you lived in a house right now and didn't take care of it? Wouldn't be long before it'd be a pile of junk. There'd be rotten places. You'd have termites. You'd have, broken down foundations. You'd have roof leaks. There are all kinds of problems because you didn't take the time to care for that house. Well, here it's a double whammy. Not only did they not take care of their houses because they were too busy. You following me now? They're too busy with their lives to take care of what they have. And because they didn't take care of what they had, they let the walls get broken down as well. And so now the very thing that was built to protect them has now become a liability. So here's the thought the Lord gave me. And in the New Testament, Jesus talks about the vine. And how he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Those of us that are saved, born again, we have been engrafted into the vine. We live, we breathe, we exist because of the vine. The vine does not live off the branches. The branches live off the vine. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God can do it without me. I got news for you, honey. He's been doing it without you before today, and he'll do it without you after today. But you cannot exist. You cannot live. You cannot enjoy and have peace like a river. You can't have the joy of the Lord if you're not hooked into and living off the vine. Amen? Now, come on now. You shouted when he sang. How come you can't shout when I preach? You got to do whatever you got to do, Brother Mullins, to get him to respond, don't you? Amen. Anyway, the Bible said that those branches that are not producing, Jesus said they will be cut off, cast into the fire. Now, I want you to understand that it's not just to bring judgment to the branch that's not producing, but it's done so that the vine will prosper and the other branches receive the blessing from the vine that is now healthier. Amen? You know what we call it today? Pruning. I told you a bit more about what are they again? Crape myrtles. And how that every year around February, the 1st of March, I get orders to go out and saw the branches off. I mean, cut them down just slick as glass. Looked like I killed every one of them. First time I did it because I was told to. Amen? And a happy wife is a happy life. Say amen right there. And so I cut the thing. She said, cut them straight across, just like a crew cut. And that's what I did. She came out and said, man, you've done a good job. I looked and I thought, I have killed these trees deader than a hammer. I said, there's nothing left but the hind legs. Well, guess what? A month later, stuff was a-poking out of them naked branches. And I'm telling you, and all of a sudden, if I'm talking about within just a few weeks, that thing is just full as it can be. I'm having to go out now, trim the bottom so you don't get hung up in it. And this is July. I'm talking about the end of February, March, April, May, June, 4 months. But you know what? So I learned that's what that means. You prune off the stuff that's no longer good or producing so that the tree can in itself provide more fruit. Now, we know what the Bible teaches about that, that we're to bear fruit. The Bible said you're to bear much fruit. If you don't, God said, I'll cut you off. I'll cut you off. I'll cast you in the fire. Somebody said, well, does that mean you go to hell? Not for a Christian, it doesn't. But I'll tell you, you get the trash heap or God can't use you. Amen. But now listen, and by the way, that's what's going on here. God told Isaiah, you tell that crap. They built those homes there like they should have. But now they've neglected. Hey, we have neglected the church. We've neglected the country. We've neglected our testimonies. We've neglected our reputations. We're too busy living and trying to have a good time and just trying to get all we can get out of life. I'm not saying that God's against that, but what I am saying is when that becomes more important than keeping up the wall, the enemy's going to come along and find the broken places. And so you'll notice now what the command is here. It's an unusual command. It's something that you wouldn't necessarily think of. But what's happened is God has basically said, you got two choices. You can either let Sennacherib besiege the city And it won't take long because there's holes in the wall. And most of the holes are where the houses were located. And he said, either you can let the enemy come in, or you can tear down your house and with what's left over, fix the wall first. Now, you know what most people would say? I'm not doing that. That's my house. My kids grew up there. I put a lot of money and time and effort into that house. Now, it's a little decrepit. It's a little broke down because, you know, me and my wife and kids, we've been gone here and there and everywhere just enjoying life. And so, sure, it needs a little work, but I'll get around to it. Before long, the house will fall down on its own and you still haven't got around to it. Here's what I want to give you tonight real quickly. We must tear down if we're going to build. And the word I had Brian look it up for me is the word raise. R-A-Z-E. R-A-I-S-E. Sounds the same. I know there's a term for words that sound the same but spelled differently. Don't know what it is, but I know there's one. What is it? Cinnamon. Okay, good. I got three different answers. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's a good way to learn. I'll just have to go home and look it up, I guess. It's either an antonym, a synonym, or a cinnamon. Homonym, yeah, that's grits, ain't it? Homonym grits? Oh, no. Anyway, you get the idea. This word, listen, this is what this word, because look at verse 10. It says, and the houses have ye broken down, fortify the wall. I want to look at it from the perspective of God commanding that be done. Because the word raise here, as I looked it up, and Brother Brian looked it up for me, out of the Webster's 1828, says this, completely destroy. To subvert from the foundation. That means scrape it right down to the foundation. To overthrow, to erase, or to obliterate. Now, that definition sounds pretty complete. Sounds to me like what God is saying. There's going to come times in our lives, you ready? Now, this is not pleasant, but this is truth. There's going to be times in all of our lives when we get so wrapped up in our own lives. I'm talking about self. And again, I'm not saying that those things are bad. They're bad when they become more important than God. They're bad when they become more important than building up your testimony and keeping it. You know, when I'm going on vacation and I'm going where people don't know me, so I can let my hair down, dress like I want to, walk around half naked or do whatever I want to, and nobody's going to care. God cares. And I'm telling you, the devil is watching you. And you know what he's saying? Good. They're letting the house fall down. And when the house falls down, it's going to leave a hole in the wall. And when the hole gets there, I'm going through that hole, and I'm going to do damage inside the city. Hello? You got me? Y'all with me tonight? I'm telling you that if we don't tear down some things in our lives, so that God can rebuild some things in our lives, we are the ones who are going to suffer. Don't think for a minute that Judy said, and I'm telling you folks, listen, I'm telling you, the more we want to do things for God and God is blessed here, the more the devil is trying to tear it up. And when it happens, there's holes in the wall. And we got to do? We got to tear down whatever it is in ourselves that are making those holes and use what's left to repair the wall. Because the devil is waiting. He is waiting for a big gaping hole to appear in your house, in your life, in your family life, in our church life, so he can go barreling through there and destroy the thing from the inside. You study societies in the world since God created the world. Every major society that was ever part of this world was destroyed, ready, from the inside out. You never read of major civilizations in the world since the beginning when God made it, where any civilization was destroyed from an enemy outside. Now, an enemy outside may have had something to do with it, but it was always because They let down their moral and societal obligations. They decided that self was more important than the whole. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm going to do what I want to. And doing so, everybody gets that attitude. I'm telling you, folks, look at America today. We've got people in the streets all over this country displaying what I call pure anarchy. They're saying, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. And now there's this great divide. And I don't care how good the economy is right now and how President Trump's standing up for America. And by the way, I think he should, and I'm glad he is. But I'm telling you, if we, as the people of God, don't start building the wall back by destroying the things in our life that are keeping us from winning these people to God, the devil's going to get in here and we're going to have a wall with nothing inside of it. Let me give you the thoughts quickly. Number one, notice that we must raise. Now you can apply any part of that debt, completely destroy, obliterate, erase, scrape off the foundation, use whatever you want. It all means the same. But first of all, verse 10 says we must raise houses. What are you talking about, preacher? We must raise or destroy the houses of sin. We better get sin out of the house. You know what it cost Achan? His life, his wife, his children, and all of his possessions. Because he took some gold and some silver and some clothes when God said don't leave anything behind and don't bring nothing home with you. Amen. It's in the Bible. And Joshua had Achan and his family killed because Achan would not destroy the house of sin. Joshua got him aside. God led him right to... Listen, you talk about be sure your sin will find you out. God led Joshua right to Achan. And he said, Achan, what have you done? And Achan told him, he said, there's sin in the camp. Come on now. Help me out here. If this not you, you shout. If it is, then say, oh me. Do something about it. We've got to completely destroy the houses of sin. And once again, please don't misunderstand me. And I don't believe for one minute you can show me the Word of God where God's against anybody enjoying themselves. But He's totally against anything being placed before Him. He's been that way from the start, and He'll be that way till Jesus comes. So we've got to destroy the houses of sin. We need to raise or destroy the houses of self. I mentioned that. Self. Self-appeasement, self-pleasure. It's all about me. What's in it for me? What have you done for me lately? But really the question ought to be, what have we done for Him lately? Self gets in the way. And so we get so wrapped up in self that we forget about our house. We forget about our testimony. We forget about our reputation. Until something bad happens and then we're crying out to God, please fix it and restore it. When God's warned us all along, you better get control of self. You better scrape off at the foundation, self. He said you better crucify your members. He said you better keep yourself under subjection. With me tonight? I'm hurrying along. You've had some wonderful singing. Now I think we're having some pretty good preaching. And so hang with me now. We ought to raise the houses of sin, of self, and of standing alone. God, you ready? Fixing to burst your bubble. God does not need us. He desires us. Job tried to interject a few thoughts on God during his time about creation. And God said, now Job, just where were you when I created the world? Now where were you sitting at the table? Me and the Son and the Holy Ghost decided to make this thing. Job, now where were you when I created the Leviathan and the mammoth? In other words, he gave life. He said, now what part did you have in that, Job? And Job said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll just be quiet now. We need to quit acting like that God can't do it without us and that the church can't operate without us and that God, that nothing can go, that the universe revolves around us. That's not the way it works, folks. When we get that attitude, we forget about where the house is. We forget about taking care of the house. And as the house caves in, so does the wall. That's all the devil's looking for. Let me give you number two. Not only must we raise the houses of sin, self, and standing alone, but we must repair the walls, first of all, of dependence on God. Thank God for our independence, but sometimes that's bad for us. We're independent Baptists, but that's sometimes a problem. Old J. Harold Smith was a Southern Baptist, so he preached in independent Baptist churches. Boy, the Southern Baptist folks get mad at him. Say, man, I can't believe you're dealing with that crowd. Well, then he'd go to the Southern Baptist church and his independent friends say, J. Harold, I can't believe you're still dealing with that bunch. He said, God, why don't you make up your mind? He said, I did a long time ago. Oh, they said, you did? Which camp are you in? Well, he said, I'm not a Southern Baptist or an independent Baptist. They said, well, what are you? He said, I'm a dependent Baptist. Amen. That's wise counsel right there. Hey, in other words, we need to depend on God. We need to build the wall of dependence upon God. We have tried to do it ourselves long enough. Depend on God. We need to build the walls of a desire to serve God. Oh, how we ought to want to serve God. That ought to be our desire. What? Listen, why do you think God left us here? Why didn't He take us when He saved us? Because He gave us a desire to serve God. We're servants. We're ambassadors. Man. And so we need to build that wall. We need to repair the wall of dependence on God, desire to serve God, and we need to repair the wall of delighting in God. Hey, turn with me real quickly to Psalm 37. Hold your place. I've only got one more point and I'm done. I'm trying to go fast. Psalm 37. And look with me, Psalm 37, I believe it's verse number 4. Let's go over there and see right quick. Psalm 37, and yeah, verse number 4. It's page 616 if you have a Scofield Bible. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Hallelujah. Delight in the Lord. Just give Him His place. Matthew said to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. Honey, I'm telling you over in Isaiah, if those Jews had trusted God, loved God, and obeyed God like they should, God would have made sure that, listen, if God could cause 3 million Jews to walk through a desert for 40 years and never wear out a shoe or need a new change of clothes, I'm telling you, God can keep your house up, God can keep the wall up, and God can keep the devil out. I'm telling you, I don't usually get like this on Wednesday night, but I'm telling you, I feel like preaching. I only got one more point. I wish I had a few more. I'm getting wound up good. So we need to raise a house. We need to repair the wall. And then lastly, and I'll be through, look at verse 11. We must resolve to follow the builder. Verse 11, what does it say? Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the open. Ye made it. You decided you're going to figure this thing out. I tell you what we'll do. We'll keep that rascal out. We'll dig a ditch and fill it full of water. Now let me tell you something. If Sennacherib was as big a man as he was, and he was, and Syria the great nation that it was, and such a thorn in the flesh of the Israelites, why in the world would they think a ditch full of water is going to keep him out? Hey, the Euphrates couldn't keep the Medes and the Persians out of Babylon. Isn't that right, Brother Steve? Boy, old Belshazzar had that big shindig and defiled the cups and the vessels of the treasures of God. God wrote on the wall, that's it, buddy, you're done. I'm finished with you. And while he was, his knees knocking together, and he sobered up while all that was going on, they diverted the Euphrates from out of the middle of Babylon, and they crawled under the hole in the wall, and got in there without firing a shot, and took over the whole outfit. Come on now. I'm telling you, God said, they said, we'll dig a ditch and fill it full of water. We'll keep them out. We don't need God. Notice what the Bible said, and I'll be through. He said, but ye have not looked unto the Maker. Now, I'm telling you, when I write Scripture down, if I'm doing a sermon or I'm writing Scripture out for some reason, every reference to God, I always capitalize. I just do it out of honor and respect. And if I was writing this, now it does not change the scripture. Where it says maker, I'd made it a capital M. So everybody, now somebody would say, wait a minute, that's a misprint or a misspelling or a misuse of a capital letter. Not when you're talking about God, it's not. When you're talking about God, honey, all of the letters ought to be capitalized as far as I'm concerned. He said, you haven't looked to the maker thereof, neither had respect unto capital H, him, look, that fashioned it long ago. Don't treat God like he just woke up. Don't treat God like he, listen, I'm telling you, God purposed it. God purposed for Anchor Baptist Church to be sitting right here. And I'm telling you, God's got a purpose for this place. But if we don't take care of the wall and build the houses and sometimes tear down if we have to so it can get better. Hey, and if we don't keep our eyes on the maker, the devil's going to get in here and blow this thing up. And that's good preaching, even if I am doing it. We need to follow the believer of the wall. There needs to be weak. Look what he said in verse 12. And in that day the Lord God of hosts call to weeping. Oh, we need to get back to weeping over souls and weeping over sin and weeping over the sacredness of God and His Word. Weeping speaks of recalling. We need to recall. How many of you remember? Has God ever been good to you? Some of you, Judy and some shouted, testified about the goodness of God. Hey, I'm telling you, He's been good to us more than once. And we need to remember and remind folks how good God's been. When you got a point in your life when maybe it doesn't seem like He's not doing much good, you just remember He's done good for you before. Just the fact that you're saved and not going to hell ought to put you on shouting ground every day you get up. So that weeping means recalling. And then he mentions baldness. You know what baldness does, don't you? Brother Steve's going, what baldness does, it reveals. I'm telling you, I'm getting there, Brother Steve. It's happening. I still got a little bit, but not much. I saw they got this new stuff out. Said, man, it's the perfect thing for baldness. Said, if you got little places, you know, where you get a little thin, and they made a big deal out of it. As I watched it, I realized, you know what it is? It's paint. That's all it is, paint. Oh, but it'll last 2 weeks. Then you know what you got to do? Repaint it. Now, I've known people, listen, my brother Jeff is one. He lost his hair even fast, so now he just cuts it. You know, he just shaves it. You've seen him. I mean, he just years ago he said it's going anyway. He said, so I might as well just shave it and be done with it. And so that's what he does. And my brother, listen, my brother Jeff got all the looks in our family, and he's trim and thin, and he had a mullet. You remember the mullet? But he had a mullet before even the mullet was popular. You know, party in the back and business in the front. You know. And I'm telling you, he loved his hair. I mean, he reminded me so much of Absalom. My dad wanted to get scissors and cut his hair off so bad. Anyway, I mean, he had, Judy remembers, he had long flowing hair. Boy, he'd take a brush and he'd fix it, boy. Now you say, well, he'll be mad if you tell him this. Well, he probably will, but anyway. I'm trying to make a point here because he went north. He went to Michigan one year and went through Wythville, Virginia. Whatever, that's when he decided to go and shave my head because it's already going in. So he stopped at a barbershop in Wythville, Virginia, and had him shave his head. When he got back that fire, it was sometime later, but he'd been doing it now for a while. Last time I saw him, he had hair. He got back. I saw him. I said, what'd you do? He said, well, it's falling out anyway. He said, so I just went ahead and done it. I said, well, how was he? He said, it's kind of rough. I said, what do you mean? He said, because when I had my hair, I didn't see all the bumps on my head. He said, now all I got is a head full of bumps. You know what baldness does? It reveals some things, don't it? You know, they say that God only makes a few perfect heads. The rest He covers with hair. That used to get him big in the Southern Baptist Church. But baldness reveals. Hey, I'm telling you, God knows how to raise some things in our life. You know, He said, I want you to take it all the way to the foundation. Sometimes God can do that. Sometimes God will take stuff out of our life that we think we can't live without. Show us that we can, but we can't live without Him. And lastly, notice he said in verse 12, girding with sackcloth. Jews wore sackcloth, and Brother Murray the other day at the service, Steve, somebody mentioned sackcloth. Oh, it's Brother Tony Finney, Monday night. He's talking about sackcloth. He's talking about in that passage of Scripture where that woman made a deal with her neighbor and they ate her son. You remember that? Because it was so bad in Israel. And so one lady boiled her son and they ate the boy. And then the other one said, "Now tomorrow we'll eat mine." And then she ran off and didn't do it. And the woman complained to the king because they didn't keep her bargain. And the whole point was, you know, who would eat their children anyway? Why would you even make such a... Well, if you're hungry, you'll do about anything. I wouldn't do that. I believe I'd starve to death before I'd do that. But the point was that the king, the Bible talks about the king walking around on the wall with his regal robes on and letting everybody see him because he wanted them to think that it wasn't as bad as it was. They were paying a day's wages for bird droppings to eat. They were paying a day's wages for dove's dung. Huh? It's in the Bible, folks. The parable really happened that way. But the king is walking around the wall with his robes on. Everything's going good until the lady comes up and tells him what she did. It even messed him up so bad that the Bible said he rent his robes off of him and underneath he was wearing sackcloth. And Brother Tony explained, it's true, that Israelites wore sackcloth as an irritant. It's burlap. Well, sackcloth is like a burlap sack. And instead of having silk or some kind of fine, nice undergarment, they wore sackcloth. And it scratched and itched, and it always reminded them that things weren't as they appeared. Hey, listen to me. The Bible said that they were girding themselves with sackcloth. You walk around and say, "Well, got my two-story house, got my two cars in the garage, got a good job, got a good wife, and my kids don't give me too much trouble. And I'm even a member of the church down there. Things are pretty good. But you know what? I'm just going to get out of here and live, and I'm the American dream." You better be careful throwing that phrase around. I mean, nothing wrong with living a good life in America that God has provided for us in this country. But when all of that is more important than God, before you know it, the house is caving in, the wall is caving in, and now you're trying to scramble to fix it, but you'd never confer with the Maker. The other day, I think it was Brenda or somebody, I can't remember who, we were talking about copy machine, making copies up, and one of them said, "Have you seen this?" I said, "What?" They opened up the cabinet door, and the whole cabinet was coming off the wall. Is that you, Brenda? I don't remember who it was, somebody. And they said, I said, "I didn't know that. I have no idea." And I looked at it, and it just, I mean, the whole thing's fixing to fall off the wall. I said, "Well, I better do something about it and get that taken care of." "No." "Well, I'm not going to take care of it. I don't know what to do." I didn't have a clue. I didn't know if it was nailed, glued, you know, putty, band-aided. I don't know. I said, "But you know what I did?" Now, Brother Joaquin's a fixer-upper. Brother Ed's a fixer-upper. And you know, if I said, "Hey, can you fellas do something about that?" They probably could have. You know who I called? Brother Jerry Peacock. You know why? He put it up there. I figured, well, I might as well talk to the person that done it so he'll know how to redo it. What he said? "Hey, this." I said, "Brother Jerry, I'm going to be, I was gone somewhere. This is a couple weeks ago or a week or so ago. I said, I'm going to be gone. I said, so you want to wait till I get back?" He said, "Oh, no." Now, listen, this is what the man who put it up said. "Oh, no. We better not wait." I said, "Well, I'll get somebody to meet you down at church." He said, "No need. I still have a key." He said, "I'll go down." I said, "I'm coming to Columbia today." He said, "I don't need anybody down there. I'll go in and take care of it. You won't even know I was there." Woo! And guess what? He fixed it. And guess what? He didn't send me a bill. You know what he said? He said, "I put it up there and I meant it to stay there. And if it's not going to, I'll take care of it." Sounds just like God, doesn't it? I saved you and I gave you what you got. And if you're having trouble, if you can't hold on to it, just come back and talk to me. I'll fix it. And I won't charge you for it either. You know why? Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. There you go. I'm done. I'm finished. You got to tear down sometimes. Not always. But sometimes it's necessary to tear down so we can rebuild. Father, we love you today. Thank you for this time together. I know it's a little later than usual. We've had a good time with the Lord tonight. Listen, time don't mean anything to me. It may mean to some folks because they've got children here, whatever. But I'm telling you, Lord, when God gets into service, I don't want to go home. I don't want to end at a certain hour. I want to hang around as long as God will get in it and bless it and bless me for being here. I want to stay. And I thank you, Lord. I appreciate so much. Folks came in tonight with a good spirit. Somebody would say, "Well, you don't have very many folks down there." Well, the Bible said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them.
And then, Lord, to have Brother Mullins and his wife come and sing. Oh, what beautiful singing and godly singing and singing that honored God. And because it honored God, He honored us by breathing through the testimonies, the shout, all of that. Lord, listen, God, thank You for coming by. Thank You for thank You for passing by our way tonight on a Wednesday night. And Lord, I thank You for the Word of God most of all. Because, Lord, none of that other would mean anything if we don't obey the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank You for it. And I pray the message has helped somebody tonight. Just to get them to look around and say, you know what? My house looks like it needs a little help. It needs a little work. First, it needs a little work. If you don't do something about it, it'll need bigger work. Later, it'll need a lot more work. And pretty soon, it's unrepairable. It's irreparable. Lord, it'd been easy when they showed me that cabinet. Say, well, just be easy with it. Don't hang on the door and just kind of, you know, just be easy and gentle. It'll probably stay up there for a while. But at some point, that thing come crashing down. The problem is, if it did, it might have hurt someone. So what do? You fix it right away. God, whatever we have in our lives that needs fixing, help us to fix it right away. But not fix it ourselves. Help us to call the Maker. Call the Builder. Call Him who knew of it long ago. Thank God You knew us before the foundation of the world, and You haven't forgotten Your children. Thank You for Anchor Baptist Church. Lord, help us through our Bible school this week to keep... And Lord, I'm so guilty of this myself, it's hard for me to say. But Lord, help us not to keep our eye on the number, but to keep our eye on the goal. And that is to teach any boys and girls that'll come about our great God. So Father, You send in the ones. I hope, Lord, You'll fill the place up just so we can see the hand of God work. Lord, the same at Anchor Baptist Church. Now, we have to be busy. We have to get out here and get in the highways and hedges and compel them. It's not going to happen by itself. But Lord, help us all to get involved in building and rebuilding the wall wherever it needs attention. We love You. Thank You for all You do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother.